Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Face Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080, 96.5 TICFM and Light 100.5 WRCH. Aaron Kupek with you on this Sunday morning, and we are pleased to be joined by Tim Phelan, president of the Connecticut Retail Merchants Association. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Aaron. Thanks for having me.
Well, it seems the holiday shopping season is already well underway this year. What conditions are different from years past, Tim?
Well, I think the trends over the last 5 to 10 years have been consumers starting their holiday shopping a little bit earlier and not waiting to Black Friday. So that's one thing. A trend has been moving that way. And this year, I think a lot of emphasis on supply chain and labor shortages might have forced or given consumers a little bit of an incentive to start their shopping a little bit earlier this year.
So how have retailers had to change how they do business to accommodate the earlier start to the season?
Well, you know, the retail industry has been sort of forced to make a number of changes over the last year and a half from, you know, due to the pandemic, from increased web presence, online presence, to curbside pickup, to picking up at stores. So all of those changes all had to take place at a rapid pace in 2020, and they've continued to 2021. So they have to be ready for consumers when consumers want it and in the manner in which they want it. So this has all been a buildup to that for this year.
What are retailers finding in terms of what consumers want? Are they in some cases wanting the retailers to go down the aisles and do the shopping for them and bring it out to the curb?
I think you saw a lot of that last year. I think that's starting to sort of shift, and consumers are starting to get back into in-store shopping more as the number of vaccinated folks increase, and the news about COVID, particularly in Connecticut, showing better numbers. It's getting closer and closer to somewhat normal status, and more consumers are shopping in person. But there are so many options for them now, and all our members are prepared to fulfill those requests by customers if they want to, you know, do curbside pickup, like I said, or they want to use store just as a fulfillment center to just go in and buy it. I mean, order it, go in, pick it up, and leave. All those options are available. And consumers are using all of them. As I said, you know, last year, the retail industry sort of had this transformation in all types of, in all sizes of retail, how to change due to the pandemic. So that has continued into 2021.
Let's dig a little deeper into the supply chain issues that are affecting so many sectors of the economy. How are they affecting retailers? And is there anything that can be done to quell the situation?
Well, how it's affecting our members is it's difficult and has been difficult for them to plan inventory around supply chain slowdowns. So the just getting the product into their store has been the biggest challenge. Now, I will say that it appears as over the last week, maybe the last couple of days, things in terms of supply chain have improved. Some of the changes that our industry worked on with some labor unions and the Biden administration around ports have made the situation a little bit better. But a lot of these supply chain issues are out of our control, and they have to do with, you know, where products are sourced, where they're made, and whether or not those places are fully staffed, and then, you know, getting the product here to our shores, and then having truck drivers be able to, and, you know, load them up and get them to our stores. So a lot of it has been out of our control, but all those factors will impact the retailer's decision on, you know, what they can offer to consumers. But as I said, I my sense over the last week or so is that things are slowly improving. We won't be back to the way the supply chain used to operate probably till 2022. But through this holiday season, our sense is that things are have improved.
What should customer expectations be if they haven't started shopping yet?
I think customers are going to see the retailers have the stuff that they're looking for. They may not have the the abundance of everything that they might have had before, but I think they're going to see that we're ready and we're staffed up. Again, it may look a little different. In-store shopping may look a little different in terms of, where you do your checkouts, may not have every register open, that kind of stuff. But I think consumers are going to see, they're going to be surprised and happy that when they go shopping this year.
In terms of staffing, do retailers in Connecticut have all the employees they need, or are they looking for more?
Well, we could always use more employees, no matter the time of the year. That's always a good thing to let folks know. Retailers are always, looking to add good, high quality talent to their teams. And I think this year, I think the answer to that is yes. I think they feel like they are going to be staffed up appropriately for this holiday season. And I think consumers should expect that.
What does the forecast look like in terms of how good a year it's going to be for retailers?
Yeah, our sense is it's going to be a very good year for retailers this year. Our sense is that talking to our folks on a national level, we'll do a lot of surveys in this area that could have shared with us some insights that consumers are ready to shop. They certainly, it appears anyways, have the desire to get out there and shop and purchase this year. There's a little bit of a pent up demand. There's a little bit of savings that's been had that's taken place with folks' individual budgets, and that they should. Our sense is they're going to be anxious to get out there and shop and spend it, and that's a good thing for the industry. So we're looking forward to a robust holiday season.
It seems the economy is still weighted more towards goods versus services as we emerge from the pandemic. Is that what you're hearing from your members?
Yeah, well, we certainly hope so, especially around the holiday season. Yes, I mean, we expect that people are going to want to go in and buy stuff. Now, what stuff they buy is always, a guessing game during the holiday season. But it's our sense is it's the typical things that you see every holiday season in terms of, apparel and electronics and toys for kids and video games and gift cards. All those will be back in the mix again this year.
Now, there's certainly pent-up demand, as you mentioned. Savings levels might be a little higher. On the other side of the coin, are you at all concerned about inflation and higher fuel prices kind of eating into the budget to buy things?
Oh, certainly. As much as it affects decision-making on the part of consumers, it is something we're very concerned about. If folks are a little skittish because they think it's the prices are too high and they hold back, and don't purchase things, as well as, they may not travel from one part of the state to the other to purchase items because of gas prices. But options are available to consumers, again, as I said, thanks to the changes that the industry has made over the last year, in that, you can go to a brick and mortar retailer, your favorite brick and mortar retailer. You could most likely go to their online their website. You can pick an item. You can have that item shipped to your house, or you could go there, pick it up, and come back. So, yeah, I mean, all these issues, certainly inflation and gas prices are certainly something that we would all like to see improved, particularly gas prices coming down, because it gives a consumer a better sense of having real tangible dollars to spend. So we don't like that. But we think that for this period of time, this holiday season, that many folks will overlook that and get out and do their shopping.
I know some people, when they're holiday shopping, like to wait until the last minute because there could be better sales, or they're just procrastinators. Is that something that's going to be happening a lot this year, would you say? Are there going to be last minute sales? And if people wait too long, do they risk not having the items they want on the shelves?
Well, yeah, direct answer to that question is yes, that is a risk, particularly this year, given the supply chain issues that we talked about earlier. So we've been urging consumers to do their shopping sooner rather than later. I think the trends, as I said earlier, have been showing that consumers have been buying things throughout the year, or they've started their holiday shopping a lot earlier than they used to. I think, again, we're going to see a little bit more of that. So as you move down to the crunch in the last week or so, you may see price reductions, but my sense is you may not also, because, you know, the economy is overall doing pretty well. And as we talked about a little bit earlier, folks have some savings, they have a pent up demand. There may not be a need for retailers to, you know, sort of attract customers into their stores by lowering or discounting prices as they get closer to the end of the season. So, you know, we encourage all customers, as we have been for the last month or so, to do their shopping as early as they can, so therefore they can guarantee to get what they're looking for and not wait until the end.
You are listening to Face Connecticut. We are talking to Tim Phelan, president of the Connecticut Retail Merchants Association. Talk a little about the experience of going shopping in person. How have things changed since the start of the pandemic, and how have they kind of eased back to maybe pre-pandemic levels in some cases? Are we still seeing plexiglass at the register and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, if you recall back in 2020, when Governor Lamont put in the safe store guidelines, there were specific things that retailers had to do. As you mentioned, plexiglass was one of them. There were other requirements as in terms of like aisles and one-way aisles and social distancing. Those safe store guidelines have been eliminated, but many retailers continue to put safety guidelines, health safety guidelines have remained in place. So in many cases, you may still see plexiglass between you and the associate who's checking you out. You probably won't see one-way aisles anymore, and you probably won't see as many signs or social distancing requirements that you did. You probably still see lots of hand sanitizers in stores, and you will see lots of associates wearing masks. And some stores have eliminated the mask requirements. Other stores have not. So you should just be clear about that before you go into a store. So it's a little bit of a mix and match from where we were back in March, April, May of 2020 to where we are now. So a little different look.
In terms of stores with an online presence, it seems that perhaps the pandemic forced some retailers that maybe weren't prepared or weren't ready to go online to get online. Do you think that's going to pay dividends down the road when we emerge from the pandemic?
Oh, yeah, I think it already has in many cases. I think retailers, unfortunately, they were forced to almost overnight make changes to their operating systems and make changes to the way they delivered their products to customers. So that will continue from now. I think that's probably a given now. It's an expectation on the part of the customer. It's certainly built in now as part of the overall sort of sale that the customer makes to the customer, that the retailer makes to the consumer, which is you can shop with us through many different channels. We're omnipresent, so to speak. So you could get online, you can do all the other things we talked about and buying online. You could have it shipped to your house, you can have it curbside pickup, or you can come on in and pick it up yourself. So I think the changes that the challenges that were faced by retailers when the pandemic first hit forced them to make a bunch of changes. And those changes have all been beneficial to customers. And I think overall been beneficial to our members as well.
Now, in recent years in the greater Hartford area, we have seen these large distribution facilities go up near the major highways. Explain that piece in how retail works. What need do those facilities serve?
Well, simply put, it's to get closer to customers. So the more distribution centers you have where you can get product into those distribution centers, and then you can get it out faster to customers, that's the benefit of having distribution centers located in the state. In Connecticut, it's the benefit to our customers. It's the idea that you want to be able to deliver to the customer in as timely a manner as you can. And in order to do that, you got to get the stuff out of a warehouse and to the customer's front door. So the bigger, the closer and the more of these distribution centers we have accessed in and, as you say, in off the highway, it's better for customers in the long run because they're going to get the products delivered to them faster.
Is that a shift in terms of how retailers operate? Is that because so many people have gone online, or is it following in Amazon's footsteps, or is it sort of the concept of just-in-time delivery?
Again, Aaron, I think a lot of this is all of the above. I mean, I think there, you know, the pandemic forced changes, and as we talked about, you know, smaller independent retailers now have to have robust web presence. Larger national chains have to have faster distribution network. So the pandemic caused some of that. Some of the market challenges, as you mentioned, you know, Amazon and some other national brand retailers forced some of those changes as well. So the combination of all these things have forced, you know, just the delivery of services, the getting customers the product in real time or as fast as they can. All those little things contributed to that sort of adjustment or change taking place. So I wouldn't say there wasn't one factor that led to it. I think there was a bunch of different things all coming together at the same time. And again, all I would argue that all of this is to the benefit of the consumer. And that's the whole business of retail, is how do we make sure our customers are satisfied and come back and shop with us again. So they had to recognize some changes that had to take place, some of which was forced upon them, as I said, by the pandemic. It forced smaller and independent and even national retailers to fix their websites and make them more user-friendly. And then some of them was market-driven. How do we compete? If somebody's getting a product out of a customer's back door faster than I am, how do I increase my efficiency to make sure that I can get close to or meet that same delivery time as other retailers have?
What are retailers doing to combat theft from their stores? I'm sure you saw the video earlier this month of that shoplifting at the grocery store in Oxford. More recently, yeah, out in the Bay Area of California, there was this mob that basically went into a retail store and just stole a bunch of items in a matter of minutes. How big an issue is that? And are there new steps being taken to combat it?
Well, first of all, it's a very big issue. The organized retail crime is the term of art that we use in the retail industry. It's been taking place for over the last 10 or 15 years, where organized, it's not just, you know, individual, back in the day, somebody would grab a t-shirt and run. It's much more organized, much more sophisticated, and it's much more of a challenge for retailers to combat that. So what are they doing? They're working as closely as they can with local law enforcement, and they're doing everything they can inside stores to make sure that associates are aware and that there's coordination between loss prevention personnel that's in the store and store personnel, and just try to do everything they can to prevent it. But it's a challenge, no doubt. And it does seem that over the last month or so, even though we've been dealing with organized retail crime for a long time, 10 or 15 years, over the last month or so, it seemed to have picked up in intensity. So it's something we're very mindful of as we enter the holiday season.
Who ultimately foots the bill for retail crime? Is that something that's covered by insurance for retailers, or is that ultimately passed along to the consumer in the form of higher prices because retailers have to pay for it somehow?
Well, I think you nailed it. That's it. I mean, it's I haven't heard that insurance covers any of this, but I do think ultimately it's a cost that the retailer has sunk into the product to get it sold, where they would then make their cost back, presumably, and that cost is gone once that product is stolen out of the store. So that's why retailers place a heavy emphasis on loss prevention. This recent sort of surge that's taken place is going to force them to invest even more in loss prevention efforts. So it is certainly a challenge for for our industry. But the more that takes place, ultimately consumers will have to, bear some of that in the form of higher prices for products.
The 2022 legislative session is approaching. Does CRMA have anything on its wish list?
Well, we always have on our wish list a sales tax cut and an expansion of the sales tax holiday or another increase or an increase in the clothing exemption allowance. Those are always a wish list for us. We think that, just got some more good news yesterday on the state budget. So we really do think that consumers could use some relief in terms of reduction of some consumer taxes. I just mentioned three of them. And also, the small business taxes that we hope the legislature will take a look at as well. But most importantly, I think we're pleased to see that Connecticut's budget situation is improving. We've got rainy day fund that's at capacity. We've got budget surpluses. So we're happy with that. We would encourage the legislature to consider some sort of relief for consumers this upcoming legislative session. And, that's the best we can hope for with all this additional revenue that we have in the state. Continue to pay down some debt so we don't have any long-term liabilities that as a business community we have to incur, and see if you can find a way to give consumers a little bit of a break if you can.
You're right. There is tax cut talk going on as we approach the session. Make the case in particular for a sales tax cut.
Well, now, a sales tax cut for consumers would be, we think it'd be in line given some of the changes that have taken place in Connecticut's economy. We've improved, as we just talked about. But, the marketplace laws that are in place now regarding online sales, along with the Supreme Court decision a couple of years ago, so now the field is balanced for online sales versus brick and mortar sales. You're obligated to pay sales tax on that. That's helped the state increase its revenue. We think that's one area where consumers are entitled to a bit of a relief. As you mentioned earlier, there's higher prices taking place due to some inflationary actions, and then gas prices are at a higher level. Consumers are looking for a break, and if the state's got the extra money, and we'd like them to consider giving our customers a little bit break, and it keeps people shopping locally in Connecticut. We're a border state, so Massachusetts has different rules on clothing and footwear, and Rhode Island has no sales tax, and New York has different things than we do here in Connecticut as well. So we're always looking to try to level the playing field amongst surrounding states as well.
He is Tim Phelan, president of the Connecticut Retail Merchants Association. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, it was a pleasure to be with you, Aaron. It's always good to talk to you, and I look forward to doing it again.
Thanks for listening to Face Connecticut. I'm Aaron Kupek. Enjoy the balance of your weekend.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.